B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
610-632-0975. So we'll get to Carson Wentz coming up. Let's get to the phones, and if we have to go to Carson, we'll jump out quickly. Let's go to Connor in Abington on the Fanatic. Hey, Connor. Connor. Connor was there. We'll put him on hold, see if we can clear up his line, and we'll go to Jay Rich in Delco. What's up, Jay Rich?
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Jay Rich?
What's going on, boss?
I like the Jay Rich thing, too.
Yeah, I've been called Jay Rich since I've probably been about in second grade, man.
Have you? You gotta get the Jay Rich jersey.
Yeah, the Josh Rich
for the Sixers.
Yeah. I know, yeah, absolutely. I was gonna get the one with Jason Richardson on the Sixers back in the day. But I just want to talk about this Jets and Eagles games, man. I'm a little nervous. I'm thinking about putting my house on the spread -14. I'm just seeing what your thoughts are. You think it's going to be close, or you think
I think the Eagles win, but you can't play 14.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Carson Wentz here right now. We'll get back to you, Jay Rich. Here's Carson.
Carson, what's it been like getting to know Josh McCown and learning from him, especially during games? It seems like you guys communicate a lot.
Yeah, it's been great working with Josh. You know, ever since he got here, I think he's seen pretty much every offense in the book. He's been around for a while, so he gets it. He gets the dynamic of playing quarterback in this league, of being a backup, of just being an extra set of eyes and ears on the sideline and everything. So working with him has been a lot of fun.
Doug addressed some of the things you're better at this year than last year versus before. Where have you seen the greatest, I guess, growth and improvement in your efficiency and execution?
I think just every year, mentally, you know, pre-snap especially, I think I've just, you know, understand the offense more and more, and just, you know, being able to process things quicker, I think, is something that I feel like every single year has improved. And I'm definitely not there, or have I arrived by any means, but I do feel more confident going forward every single week in that area.
Mechanically as well, I mean, what worked better? Do you feel like you're beating passes a little bit more efficiently than you did a year ago?
It's hard to say. You know, I've always felt pretty good mechanically. You're going to have lapses, you know, and breakdowns here and there mechanically and different things. I felt good since I came into the league, and I feel where I'm at right now is in a good place.
In talking to Press the other day, he mentioned how he likes your check downs on first and second down play actions. Is that hard for you to do, check down? Like, do you want to go downfield?
I would say probably earlier in my career it was. You know, it was something that, you just, the aggressiveness inside of me. But over the years, I mean, I think it's something you just learn within this league, and you see that, you know, you can get five on first down and you're in a good spot, you know, and you don't always have to force a shot down the field, take it when it's there type of thing. And that's something that I think till the day I'm done playing, like, I'm going to always be walking that battle of when to be aggressive and when to take the check down. But I feel like I'm in a good place with that.
Carson, you have so many injuries to your secondary.
Yeah, we don't really, you know, worry about that. As an offense, you know, we trust that the defense is going to take care of their business, and you know, they trust that we're going to do the same. So for us, it's, you know, we want to score on every possession. You know, we want to end every possession in the end zone. That's obviously our goal, and so we're going to go forth no matter who we're playing, no matter who the offense is on the other side, you know, with that expectation in mind.
When you were backed up in the fourth quarter of the Green Bay game, goal line, you guys ran the same three plays, but Doug said you obviously had alerts and you checked the different things. What made you stick with those three same things?
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty straight up play calls. Coach made a great call, and I love that he was willing to come back to it. The whole line was moving guys up front, and they were asking for it, they were calling for it, and we just trusted those guys, and that was a huge drive. Obviously we didn't finish in the end zone, but to get out and to really get some room from our own end zone was huge for us.
To be able to win a game with more rushing yards than passing yards, and to show that you can be that kind of offense, how much tougher do you think it makes you guys to defend, to be able to win a game that way?
I mean, it's huge for us. You know, I think it's huge for us offensively. It's huge for us as far as teams having to prepare for us, knowing that, you know, we have a couple different backs that can beat you in different ways. Our backs can win out of the backfield too. And then, you know, we know we have playmakers in the passing game as well. So, I think that makes it tough to prepare for us. And we just got to dial in what we do and really focus in. But I feel like that's definitely a huge plus for us.
On those three plays, you said that
they were kind of calling for? You mean the O-line they were kind of calling for?
I mean, they were moving guys. You know, they were moving guys late in that game, and they were, you know, when they get going, they love it and they want to run the ball. So that drive, you know, they were pretty amped up to run the ball.
Carson, we've been talking about wanting to get off to a faster offense start. You guys want to get off to a faster offense start. With the run game kind of developing a little bit more, do you feel like you guys can get off to that start this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have the expectation every Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whenever it is, to come out with fast starts. And some games it doesn't go that way, and you know, last game it didn't. But you know, it's something that early on we always want to see what defenses are going to do to us and stay on the field and make plays. And I feel confident that we can do that.
Carson, getting back to Ruben's question here, when you know you guys are able to run in pass, does it take A, pressure off of you, and B, does that also help on third downs, like if it's third and short, you know, manageable, I guess, situations?
Yeah, I mean, the run game, without a doubt, takes pressure off me. You know, it takes pressure off the whole offense, and I think it really opens up some things. You know, we can, you know, do some play action, some naked rollouts, different things off of the run game, because that's effective. So I think it opens up a lot of things for us offensively and makes us a much better and more dynamic offense. And then, like you said, I mean, if you can stay ahead of the chains and be in third and one, third and two, third and three versus third and eight, nine, third and ten, it makes a heck of a lot of difference with the play calls, and it really helps the offense stay on the field.
Carson, what made you guys so good on third down in your game so far?
You know, I think it's just been a lot of, you know, off-season hard work, just in looking at what we do best and doing what we do best, and you know, making adjustments at the line and just getting to the line early. We've done that a handful of times, and just, you know, making plays. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to guys making plays, O-line giving me time, or we've been fortunate enough to convert on the ground a couple times, and so guys just making plays and stepping up, and hopefully we can continue that.
Carson, is there Howard to trust you with his pass catching, or surprise you at all? Fast casting?
You know, not really, just because, you know, when he came in here in the spring, I was impressed. You know, I didn't know, I knew he was a downhill kind of physical runner, but I didn't know what to expect out of the backfield. But right away when he came in here in the spring, I knew we could use him out of the backfield some, and you know, he's exceptional in pass protection as well. So to be able to have him out there in a variety of different sets, I felt confident with him ever since he got here.
Carson, your third and longs, completions, they're averaging like 17 yards. Those plays. What do you attribute that to? Because they kind of know you're
going to
pass, right?
Yeah, like I said, it just comes down to guys making plays. You know, getting in the right calls, coach, you know, putting together an incredible game plan for those situations to put our guys in the best spots to succeed. You know, it comes down to the O-line protecting, giving me time and all of that. So at the end of the day, we're just executing at a high level on third downs, and, you know, I think we can even be better.
Carson, you're the oldest quarterback, starting quarterback now in the division.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
When you look at what happened, you know, some of the quarterbacks this weekend, the, you know, getting hit, Josh Allen, he was trying to go forward and get some extra yards. Does that kind of make you pause, make you think of what you're doing, and just...
I mean, for sure, a little bit. You know, you never want to see injuries like that happen or guys get their bell rung. And, you know, you know, I've been learning ever since I came in the league how to protect myself, when to get down, all of those things. So I feel like that's something that when you see it around the league, you know, you don't like seeing that, but you definitely take note of it.
On Sunday, did you spend that watching football? And if so, what did you learn about what's going on elsewhere?
Watched a little bit. You know, honestly, I got a lot of time with my wife, just relaxed this weekend, so it was really good. But you know, I realized this NFL is it's just wide open. You know, it's wide open. Anyone can beat anyone any Sunday. So a lot of good teams out there, and we just got to keep staying the course.
We talked a lot about the how good the runs Jets defense versus the run is. And so, what are you seeing about that? What kind of challenge will one team have against them, more for that matter, the passing game at all?
Yeah, they do some good things up front. You know, they got a good front. You know, they fill the gaps pretty quickly. You know, they want to give you a lot of cover two looks, but they'll fill pretty quick with the corners or the nickel or give you different looks. So it can create some challenges in the run game. So we can, you know, take advantage of that in the passing game as well. And, you know, I trust the coaches and the O-line are really going to get this run game going, really, versus anybody going forward.
When you get to the line early, can you walk us through your process?
Not too much. I don't want to give away too many trade secrets here, but
I mean, how many seconds does it typically give you, and how long can a defense hold off in disguising its coverage?
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the chess game. You know, sometimes you want to get up there and go fast. Sometimes you want to get up there and see what they're doing and get into the best play call. But you know, like I said, it's all part of the chess game, and it's nice. Coach can kind of give me things in my ear. You know, what to get to, plays to get to, and so far it's been successful for us.
Going into a game knowing that your coach
which is going to be aggressive on fourth down and two-point conversions.
Yeah.
Is there a benefit to that in terms of being a quarterback and executing those plays?
I love it. I love it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me within a game when the coach does that, just because he's been that way ever since I got here. He's never changed. I don't think he ever will change. He'll always stay aggressive. And I think as a quarterback and as an offense, I think that just speaks a lot of confidence into us. You know, I think that he trusts that we're going to get the job done, and we dial up plays, you know, every week for those specific situations. Obviously, we don't make them all, but I think it just instills a lot of confidence in us, and I love it.
Is the number of two-point plays you guys have, has that increased over the years because of the aggressiveness has also increased?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Every week, you know, you carry a couple, and, you know, you always have different plays that are always in your back pocket, too.
You talk so much about your understanding of the offense. Is there a facet you look back on that maybe you've come a long way in understanding of this offense?
I wouldn't say one specific thing. It's just, you know, being able to process reads quicker and get through things and getting in and out of, you know, good plays and bad plays and all of those things. And like I said, by no means is it a finished product, and it's something that we're trying to develop every single week. But, you know, I feel like definitely just processing things has been quicker.
How big was it to get Miles going a little bit in Green Bay? And what did you say to him that we heard what Mike Rowe was saying about the confidence in him despite his
Yeah, I mean, Miles is an explosive playmaker, and we know what he can do. And, you know, I even look back to the Green Bay game. His kick return really kind of sparked this offense, you know, and we were struggling early right away. And so down 10-0, he gets us into enemy territory right away. And so just the way he can make plays in the return game, out of the backfield, running the ball, you know, we've had a lot of confidence in him. You know, the fumbles aside, the guy's been a dynamic playmaker for us, and we'll keep using him in different ways.
I know a lot of guys say anything to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, leading up to even week one, just trying to remind him that he's here for a reason, you know, that he was drafted where he was for a reason, and he's a playmaker, and just go do what he does best. And so he's really embraced that role and made most of it.
I know a lot of guys like to say it's a one-week season, but that Green Bay game on the road short week, how much do you think that can help this team going forward as you guys are trying to get on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps, you know, spark a lot of confidence in us to be able to go on the road short week, you know, all those things against us, and to come out with a win, especially the way we did, the way we fought to the end. I thought that was huge for us, and hopefully that can springboard us here into the second quarter of the season. Thank you, guys.
All right, there he is, Ant, the quarterback, Carson Wentz, addressing the media. Says all the right things, does a nice job.
Yeah, he's a pro.
He polished at this point, and
he's a pro. He's a pro because they say nothing.
Yeah.
He's good at saying nothing. And
a lot of words.
Listen.
Not a lot there.
I listen to Brady during, he does these, he does the primetime games.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Jim Gray?
Yeah. They do a halftime pregame stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, we'll talk to you at halftime. And, you know, okay, Jim. And they'll sit there and they'll talk for 10 minutes and say nothing.
Yeah, and you go, what the heck did he just say?
Right. And I mean, Carson says the same thing. And listen, he's right. Like, you know, he's like, no, I'm not going to give you my trade secrets. Like, come on, man.
I'll tell you what, a few people have weighed in on Mr. X since you brought that up. And we'll get back to the phones at 610-632.
I can't take it. She's not stopping.
Yeah. Joe tweets it. He goes, good thing you never give Mr. S its real name, because if he works in the NFL, his boss would fire him immediately for incompetence.
Listen to this. He comes back at me again.
Ugh.
And he sends the whole thing. I don't know. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to do the show, and he's texting me these stats. Like, first of all, stats are bogus, okay? I mean, seriously, stats are ridiculous, and they're bogus after four games. They don't mean anything after four games. Now, you want to talk about one aspect of quarterback play, completion percentage, in which he has had no DeSean Jackson but one game.
Yeah.
No Alshon Jeffery but two games. And one of those games, he was carrying around his leg like a peg leg. And he says he's got the gall. Carson's 30th in percentage, to be exact, for all qualified quarterbacks. It's kind of hard to make excuses for that, cuz.
I think he's an ass face.
I agree, Mikey Miss.
Like, really? I mean, we're arguing over completion percentage. He's got 9 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. And he's got a slew of drops. He was thrown at Manny Moe and Jack.
Yep. Matt Collins.
But that's an excuse?
Yeah.
Manny Mac and Jack.
Yeah. Liam tweets in and goes, completion percentage is BS when it comes to Carson. Mixer S can shove it.
Thank you.
And the Eagles had the most drop passes that were deemed catchable.
I've stopped. Stop. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's just, he's
listen, I'll talk to you about anything else, but I stop with the Wentz hate. I can't take it.
Yeah. Tell him to stick to the NBA or something, you know?
He don't know NBA.
He works
in the NFL. I don't, you know, he's got, you know, they, listen, everybody's got agendas in life.
Mm-hmm. And he clearly has one against Carson. 610-632-0975. That is the number. By the way, in the noon hour, we got another tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews to give away in partnership with the Eagles, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. So one of the great callers from this hour will score the tub of peanut chews and will also be qualified for the Primo gift card that we're giving away. So let's load up the phone lines, 610-632-0975. We got open lines right now if you want to grab one. And we're talking Eagles, and you brought out the point. We'll reiterate it when we get back. You woke up this morning with a little pang. Are they still a Super Bowl contender as currently constructed? That was a very interesting angle. And all three of us, myself, you, and Andrew, are all in different wavelengths. Where are you, the caller? 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let me tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm now. As sports radio hosts and as sports fans, we talk about our great Philly teams, our players. We talk about their stats when they're worthy of talking about them, when you have a big sample size. Every sports fan knows how important stats are to measuring success and figuring out what's working. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Yeah, I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. So listen to these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, you call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number, 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can always visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Mertitis Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Earlier today with Gargano and Mertitis.
You see where they're at right now defensively, banged up. You kind of got a glimpse of the rest of the league. Can they win it?
Not as currently constructed. They're not good enough defensively. They have a couple of key areas, Ant, that need help. Obviously, the cornerbacks and that secondary and that defensive line needs help, too.
I woke up with a worry. I woke up worried. Like, I go, you know, they're going to beat the Jets. And then, you know, we know the whole deal. But they're good enough to make the playoffs. But are they good enough to win it? I don't know. I you know, deep down, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to believe.
Brought to you by Dietz & Watson's all-new Dietz Nuts. The world's first meat nut in original smoked sausage and honey maple flavors. Get info at DietzandWatson.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitis.
All right, welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Jason Mertitis, Anthony Gargano. The chewness behind the glass. Don't forget, each caller will get a chance at winning a really good prize today if you're good. So you're a good caller, intelligent sportsman. Give a shout at the $100 Primo gift card. That's a big deal. $100 worth of Primos. That's nice.
Your game day spread is all set.
That's a party. Yes. All right? That's a nice party.
Invite over to neighbors.
All right, a couple things, though. Before we get back to the Eagles, the question basically today is, off of, here's your quarter polls in, right?
Yep.
Taking a look at this team now. Riddled, ravaged with injuries. And the question is pretty simple. Can they still win? Can they win this? What's the poll up to now?
Let me check the poll here, and I'll give you that exact result.
I thought the Tunis was a poll.
I got it right now. Do you want it?
He's a poll.
47% say no, 45% say yes, 8% say never expected Super Bowl. So the same results as earlier.
Wow, that's weird. How many?
Wait a minute. Something's wrong with the poll.
That doesn't seem like it's...
Oh, yeah, there is more votes, but yeah, still holding
staying
firm.
Staying the same?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Holding firm.
47% say no, they can't win. 45% say yes, they can win. And 8% said they never thought they were a Super Bowl team in the first place.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mr. X voted never expected.
You're probably right. All right, Tunis, I need something from both you guys. Before we get back to the phone call, 610-632-0975. There's some open lines, you can get them. All right, Tunis.
Yes.
Here's the deal. All's quiet, Mr. Baseball Show.
It's still quiet.
What do we got?
We'll start from a tweet from Jim Salisbury. This came out about 20 minutes ago, and he said the following. I am not expecting any announcement or resolution to Philly's personnel matters today. The intrigue continues. So, looks like nothing's happening today, but I want to read you something that I found very interesting from The Athletic. It's Matt Gelb. He wrote this. He does a great job covering the Phillies. The attention is on Kapler because that is what the Phillies chose the moment they hired him. All across baseball, the manager position has been devalued as front offices exert more influence on lineup and in-game decisions through database suggestions. The manager is now an extension of the front office. The people who installed Kapler wanted radical change at the ground level. They wanted someone who could connect with players while expediting management's directives. They wanted someone who could talk to reporters twice a day and champion the front office's mission so they didn't have to do it. That will not change with or without Kapler. I did not like reading that.
Well, we kind of
knew that. Champion the front office's mission.
Yes. So, you would have to clean...
Just keep Kapler, then.
You'd have to clean house.
Just keep Kapler, then. If you're not going to fire Klentak, then just keep Kapler at this point. What's the difference? You know? If it's going to be put, the strings are going to be pulled by McPhail and Klentak, then just keep Kapler. What's the difference?
That made my skin crawl when I read that.
Oh, my God.
You that made your skin crawl? You want to hear something that made my skin crawl?
Go for it.
I see this on MLB.com from Todd Zlecki, and he floats out some obvious candidates if Kapler were to be fired. And he mentions Girardi and Showalter and Joe Maddon, but he also mentions Dusty Wathen, who was a finalist in 2017. He floated Raul Ibanez, who's a special assistant with the Dodgers, former Philly, as well, Dusty Baker. But he also said, how about this name? Former GM Ruben Amaro Jr. If they hired Ruben to be the manager, Ant, there'd be mutiny for the people that do care.
Yeah, they're not hiring Rube, I don't think. I mean, you know. Listen, I got news for you. I'd rather have Rube running his team than Klentak.
I would too.
All right.
Actually. Okay, can we get Pat Gillick back to replace McPhail? What's Gillick doing these days?
Here's the problem. And this is what I fear. All they want is another yes man.
Yep.
Middleton's not going to let this thing go. They're going to continue. I told you how the conversation goes. Fans don't know what they're talking about. Media doesn't know what they're talking about. They don't see it. We're doing a great job. Don't listen to the noise. They're all clueless. They don't know the game. All that's being said. That's being bandied about between McPhail, Klentak, and John Middleton. All right? That's what's being said. Oh, well, do we got to... And the whole conversation is this. Do we have to give him a pound of flesh? You know, give the man... Because they view you. Make no mistake. Andy McPhail already showed you how he views you. He views you like this is ancient Rome and you're the mob. All right? He views you, the fan base, with such little respect. He views you as simply those who are occupied by bread and circuses. Just give him some bread and grapes and wine. That's it.
The fans are beneath him.
Give him some beer. Give him some peanuts.
Hot dog.
And tell him to shut up.
Yep.
You know.
If we do, listen, we do. We don't.
That's the kind of respect that comes out of the Phillies organization. I will be supremely disappointed in John Middleton. However, I expect him not to make a change.
He's a stock that's falling in my eyes, John Middleton, as the steward of that franchise right now. That's a declining stock that I have in John Middleton.
Listen, I mean, they need oodles of help. So here's the good news, everybody. The Sixers are going to take you into June. And then you got camp. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a shame because we love baseball. And, you know, like Andrew and I are talking about the Rays and A's tonight.
Yep.
And the AL wild card. Great game last night between the Brewers and the Nats.
Nats come back.
I can't. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you know that the same year that Juan Soto, who had the big hit, who was a stud, an absolute stud, that came out. The Phillies got, they spent the most money in Latin America on Jalen Ortiz, who I actually thought was going to be something, but I didn't scout the guy. The Nationals signed Soto. The Padres signed Fernando Tatis, mm-hmm. who is stud. An all-world shortstop. Like,
total stud.
Might be the best young player in the game. And, oh, yeah, the Blue Jays signed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. All right? Tells you everything about this organization.
Yep.
They can't scout. They can't look at talent. They can't develop it.
Yeah, Jalen Ortiz is hitting 200 in Class A ball.
I'm so upset by it. Because, yeah, he's, like, great power.
Well, I remember Charlie talking about saying how he was hitting it over the trees.
Yeah.
I still remember that. I was like, all right, I'm pumped about this.
Yeah, I was pumped. But it just shows you that this organization just completely gets it wrong. 11,000 losses. I mean, I hate to be mean because I love them. Like, I do. I love the Phillies. I dislike the brass intensely. But I love the Phillies. I love baseball. I love when the Phillies are good. It's nothing better. But they're a loser franchise.
They are a loser franchise.
They just are. They're a loser franchise. The Eagles are a winning franchise. Even though they've only won one Super Bowl, they're like always in the mix, right? Like, you're always in the mix. Jeffrey Lurie's a winning owner.
Yep. Well, this line from the article from Zalecki, too, will get you nice and lathered up. He says, internally, the front office's tight inner circle still believes its practices and processes are sound and the decisions it made were good ones based on the information it had at the time.
Well, I just tell you, I told you that they sit around, tell each other how good they're, how smart they all are.
Okay, I got two tweets for you. Maybe this will help you out a little bit. This also from Matt Gelb, the other from Jason Stark. Matt Gelb says, a reminder that it took the Phillies 8 days after the 2005 season to fire Ed Wade. He mentions that the longer this goes, the more questions there are about leadership above the manager. Jason Stark then puts out a follow-up tweet saying, I'm hearing buzz that it's now possible there won't be an announcement on the fate of Gabe Kapler until next week. We don't like that. But he also says, I'm taking that as a sign that the Phillies understand they have more to decide right now than just the fate of the manager.
Okay, so if they're going to do something, they're trying to decide now if they want to make a clean sweep of the three or if they want to just fire Kapler. So that's the whole
thing. Yeah.
That's what I read into that.
Yeah. That keeps that open from Jason Stark. Now, it sucks that we have to wait a week, but...
Yeah.
Well, if the right conclusion happens and it takes a week, I'm fine.
Yes.
If it takes a week and... I mean, the longer this goes on, too, you can get the impression that maybe Gabe comes back.
Right.
There's a case to be made. Right. Unbelievable.
There you go. I mean, but again, this is who... They are.
All right, well, get your DVR cleared out, Anthony. Clear out all the SpongeBob episodes, the kids tape and everything. Because you got to tape every Sixers game. Because over the summer, you're going to rewatch the Sixers season and not the Philly season.
Yeah. Well, I got one other thing for you. And then I want to get back to the phone lines. The NHL season starts tonight.
Yep.
I'm excited. I doubleheader, right, on the NBC.
Yeah. Four games in total tonight, yeah.
Who do we get? We get Blues...
Well, that's the big one. They're going to raise the banner in St. Louis. They get their first title last year. So you get the Blues tonight and the Caps, the last two cup champs.
Oh, wow, that's a great game. And then I love the late game, the Sharks and Vegas.
And there's already bad blood there. And, of course, they went to a Game 7 last year as well in the playoffs.
That's fun. All right, so give me this. Give me a little NHL preview.
Are you looking for a Flyers preview or a league preview?
I want both. Well, I want to go through the divisions and save the Flyers for last. How about that?
Okay. Well, I did my division rankings. I put them out yesterday in lieu of my power rankings, preseason power rankings. And the way I'm looking at it, Ant, you look out like in the West. If you look in the Pacific or the Central Division is the best division in hockey. Every team in that division could make the playoffs with the exception of the Wild. But there's going to be some turnover obviously, this year in teams that make the playoffs and didn't in every conference. So,
give me arrow up, arrow down. Like, you know, who's going to be really good?
The Avalanche are going to be good. They're going to win at the Central Division. The Stars, huge arrow up. I have a big year from them. I think they go to the Cup. Blues and Predators in that division will make the playoffs as well. I believe the Blackhawks, the Jets will not.
So you think the Blackhawks make the playoffs?
I do. I think Winnipeg misses out.
Really?
Two wild cards come from the Central. In the Pacific, the three teams to me are pretty obvious that are going to be at the top of that division. It's the Sharks, the Golden Knights of Vegas, and the Calgary Flames. So
yeah, I like Calgary.
They're all in. The Atlantic, it's the same three at the top, but in a different order. The Lightning are the best team in hockey. They win the President's Trophy. The Leafs finally get the number two seed in that Game 7 against Boston.
Wow.
Yeah, in that second round. The Bruins finish third with a little Stanley Cup hangover, and Montreal makes the playoffs. That's a wild card. I have the Panthers not making the playoffs in Quenneville's first year with Bobrovsky because it's still Florida, and it's the Panthers. As far as the Metro goes, the Caps win the division again. They're the clear best team in the division, in my opinion. The Hurricanes come in second in the division. And I have the Flyers in third, and then the Penguins are a wild card team. But the Isles don't make the playoffs. The Devils are improved, but I don't believe in it enough with the goaltending. Rangers are improved, but I don't believe it enough with their play down the middle. It's a center position, and the Blue Jackets lost Panarin. They lost Bobrovsky.
They're in trouble. They're done. But I hear they're bullish about the North Jersey Mall squad.
What, the Devils? Well, a lot of people are. Yeah, I just don't. Taylor Hall is going to be back, obviously. They get Jack Hughes as the potential Calder winner as the Rookie of the Year. They get Wayne Simmons. They bring in P.K. Subban. I just don't believe in the goaltending. Corey Schneider went a calendar year without a win. And I don't think they're going to turn it over to Mackenzie Blackwood just yet. Just got like 21 NHL games.
All right, so then last thing, Fly Guys. You got him finishing third.
I got him finishing third, and a lot of people responded to my tweets. Oh, that's his biggest homer pick ever. They were a team 2 years ago that had 98 points, made the playoffs. They brought in veteran D, which is a big help to insulate the goaltender. An up-tempo system that Alain Vigneault runs going to create more offense, and goal scoring wasn't their issue last year. It was the fact that they went 8 goalies deep and couldn't stop a beach ball from the blue line. So I think...
Well, they had some meltdowns through the end of the year, like where there was ridiculous game, you know?
Oh, yeah, in the beginning of the year as well, before they kind of settled in under Scott Gordon. So they'll be better. And, if these players don't want to buy in, guys like Voracek or whoever, then they're going to be gone. This coach is not screwing around in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't give a crap who you are. He was asked about players having to play more preseason games because he didn't like where they were, veteran players, and asked if they would, how that would go over in the room. And he said, I don't give a damn. They don't have a choice. So it's the dawn of a new day, a new era with Alain Vigneault. He's had success. His last two stops took a team to the Cup final and a Game 7. And so he's a high pedigree coach, and he's not screwing around. So if you don't like it and you don't want to buy in, you're gone. You're going to be gone. And there's these young players, and look, everybody freaked out yesterday because Farabee was sent down. It was a paper transaction. He'll be in the lineup, I suspect, on Friday.
All right.
Because they got to get the cap compliant before you can put players on LTIR. Like Nolan Patrick, who's dealing with the migraines. So we'll see how it plays out, Ant.
Here it is. So I'll drop the puck tonight.
Yeah.
And then Friday. And then they drop the puck on Friday.
In Prague. Yeah. In Prague and the Czech Republic. I know Timmy and Coatsy flew out last night. Little all-night flight, nine-hour flight to Prague. Imagine Coatsy on that flight. Oh, God.
It's fine. Set them up. Yeah. Line them up.
And we'll bring it to you live on Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Little watch party down at Xfinity Live. Join us for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's go to North Carolina. Talk to Adam on The Fanatic. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going? Adam here.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Excited to talk to you guys. Calling from North Carolina. I got two questions regarding the Eagles.
Go ahead.
So the first is, talk about that Cowboys game coming up on Sunday night. It's going to be an NBC broadcast. Is it just me, or is Chris Collinsworth highly annoying?
I don't mind Collinsworth.
I think he's really good at what he does, but I hear you. He annoys me sometimes, too.
Yeah, I mean,
Aikman is a likable dude, and I like him. He never annoys me, but Collinsworth does have that kind of sniveling manner about him.
Yeah, it just seemed like in that Atlanta game, he was just like gushing about the Falcons the whole time. And, I don't know. It's driving me nuts a little bit.
It's just whatever. Don't worry about it.
But second question, Jason, I'm with you. Two areas of concern, the defensive line. You know, if Fletcher Cox goes down, they're going to be in trouble. And then Andrew Sundeo has been like a complete disaster. So do you guys think how he's going to address any of those two key areas?
I think he'll address at least one of them in a substantial way, whether that's adding, you know, a pass rusher defensively or whether that is adding a huge upgrade at the cornerback position. I think he addresses one substantially and maybe the other in a less substantial manner to give you a little bit more depth or whatever they decide to do.
Gotcha.
All right. I mean, I believe in Howie.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before, and he's a guy that...
Oh, he's proven. Yeah. Listen, he's proven they'll go and try to get you help.
Yeah, he makes more roster moves than anybody in the league. I mean, Cyprian gone this week, you know.
Well, listen, he's going to try to get you help.
Yep, he's always trying to find a way to make the football team better, and that's what Howie does. So we'll see if what he's able to pull off this year. The trade deadline, I believe, is October 27th, Anthony. I remember the Super Bowl year, he went out and got Jay Ajayi to bolster that backfield, and it paid dividends for him.
Yeah, happened when we're on the air. Jay Ajayi went nuts.
Oh, yeah, remember Bernie? Trying to... Jay Ajayi. Do you have that drop? The Bernie drop? Just have to dig that one up out of the archives. 610-632-0975. We got one open line.
It's Tyrone.
So you grab it. Tyrone in the house. Everybody's in the house. Under construction.
Jay Ajayi.
There you go. Thanks, Andrew. Ask and you shall receive. Midday Show is right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What a great time of year to put a little action on the sports. There's so much going on. FanDuel Sportsbook's offering a $500 risk-free bet to new users. So now's the time. The risk-free bet, yeah, it's amazing. It's only the beginning because FanDuel Sportsbook's got tons of great promos happening all the time. How about odd boosts, bet insurance, special bonuses, and more? Plus, the new cash-out feature is going to make it easy to take your winnings early. And there's tons of sports to choose from. FanDuel offers some of the most competitive lines around. Looking at the Thursday night game, L.A. in Seattle is a good one. How about the MLB playoffs or even the start of the NHL season? Don't forget, you can place a $500 risk-free bet on all the games when you use my promo code Jason, J-A-S-O-N. Sign up. It's simple. It's easy. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and bet from anywhere in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. And use that promo code Jason because if you make your first bet and lose, FanDuel Sportsbook's going to give you a refund and site credit up to $500. You must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Terms apply.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good luck!
It's ridiculous.
Dude, you read off the Flyers schedule? Oh my God.
Not easy for the first 2 months. Wicked.
Wow. That's like kind of depressing, to be honest with you.
It is really tough.
You still think they finished third?
Yeah.
With that schedule?
Yeah. That's where I picked them, with that under consideration.
Because here's the problem with that, is that you got a new coach, new system, like, and you brought that up.
Yeah.
Tough schedule means tough start. Tough start, it, you know, you're talking like first 6-7 weeks of the season, you can bury yourself, and then you got, you know, you got confidence, and you got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of things can germinate.
You got a fragile, not fragile, but you got a young goalie.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna be fine. I believe in him. I gotta see it. I'm gonna put my mortgage on it. But
you just said I believe in him. There you go. I'm not gonna put my mortgage on him.
No, but I do believe in him. I'm, you know.
All right. Well, then put your mortgage on him.
No, I don't put my mortgage on anything. I gotta keep the kid under the roof. It's something I can't control.
But you get my point. You either believe in him in a big way or you don't.
I believe in him in a big way. Not enough to put my mortgage on it.
Tunis.
I wouldn't even put my mortgage on the Eagles versus the Jets, put it that way.
Okay. But this is not literal.
Yeah.
It's a figure of speech. Chunas, he's hedging.
You're saying you're pretty confident that they're going to be in third place.
He's hedging. He's
all right, when it's all said and done, they'll be in third place.
You accuse other people. You accuse Mikey of being the trap door.
I'm not hedging. I got him
in
third place.
You sound like you're trap dooring it.
It's not going to be. I think it's a tough start. You got to survive it, and I think they will. They always do well on that Western Canadian trip. Always have. And I think it's good for a team to get on the road on those trips, Anthony, early.
Okay.
To come together.
All right.
Concentrate on, and that's it. So
he's right. They did well out west last year, didn't
always.
They?
Yeah. Over the last, even in the last 7 years when they haven't made
a. See, the problem is you get that early and you get that with a new coach, a new system. I hope you're right. But you seem kind of hedgy.
No, I'm not hedging. No, they're going to finish third in the division. I'm resolute on it.
But you're not putting your mortgage on it.
No.
Bet me as a producer.
I put a wager on my FanDuel app that there'll be over 90.5 points, which is the number. I put a wager on that.
All right.
A futures play, absolutely. 610-632-0975. This man, yeah, it may seem like I'm hedging, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. That's why I had the coin. You kind of worry me.
Nah.
You're going to be the same thing with Carter Hart. I believe in him. Well, you know, I'm not going to put my mortgage on him, but I believe in him.
I've been with a sports psychologist. This kid's been 12. 12 years old with a sports psychologist. Now, that's a little young for me, but a good one, too. Braden Holtby's. John Stevenson's his name. Knows what he's doing. You know, he's prepared.
Listen,
that prepares
I'm
you for anything.
I'm coming to you. I want to feel good about this thing. I'm looking forward to it. You know what? Like, here's the thing. You're the hockey guy. Make no bones. Mm-hmm. You're the man. You're the hockey guy. You know the sport inside and out. I do love the sport. You can vouch for it.
Oh, yeah. You're in that barn more than anybody.
Because I go to a lot of games. I love going there. I bring my kids to games. I love going to games.
Yep.
I love Flyers games.
You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a more entertaining product as well.
Okay. I just want to make sure that they're, like, I want to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're not going down there for a funeral this year. Don't worry.
All right? Because, look, I know I locked on my other squad.
Oh, yeah.
Taking me to gym.
Rightfully so.
But, you know, I'm not asking for June, but, you know, get me into May, can you?
Get me around at least a win and a round in the playoffs here. Let's go.
That's the point.
Yeah. And it's enough of this one and done every other year.
Because here's the other thing. April comes around, and you have both teams in the playoffs.
Oh, man, every night you got a game.
Right? And you have the NFL draft.
Yep.
The Phillies won't get an ounce of coverage, and they would deserve it if they can. If they do what we all are afraid that they're going to do.
We all kind of know they're going to do. And we know they ain't going to make the changes that need to be made. They're a loser franchise. 11,000 losses.
Yeah.
They're sitting on right now. I did the math before the show. Andrew, you can attest to this. If they went 7.5 seasons undefeated, they still wouldn't be 500 in their franchise's history. 162. No, 7.5 years it would take to get them to 500.
It's pretty bad.
Wow,
how about
hard.
That? I'm no math major, but that's not going to happen.
Well, you said something else, right? How many seasons have they played? Over 100? And you said they've made the playoffs 14 times.
Since like 1893.
Meanwhile, they've developed two outfielders and one starting pitcher.
It's incredible.
They're terrible.
But Andy McPhail will tell you we don't know what we're talking about.
How could Matt Klintak stare? Like, seriously, you know, when you look at your direct deposit, Matt, you should be ashamed of yourself, how bad you've done over the 4 years in development. What's he developed? Number one picks out the wazoo. Money out the wazoo. What's he done?
Is Cornelius Randolph going to play anytime soon?
A failure. What a horrible pick that was.
It's a joke.
He should be ashamed. It's amazing. He should resign. He's so bad.
Immediately. You're absolutely right. But he won't. He's there. He got extended. Now, Anthony, I brought this up earlier. I want to bring this up to you real quick. I found yesterday that I've been getting robbed. I've been getting scammed. I find all these charges on my bank account saying $10.59. So I look it up, and it's this thing. It says apl.itunes.com buy card and a code. And I'm like, what is all this? We thought my son was charging stuff. I Google it, and I come to find out this is an identity, like a thing where they thieve your bank account. They infiltrate it, and they only do like charges of $10.59 so that it's not too much at one time, and they just keep charging me this number.
That's frightening.
I have to go to my bank today and get all this stuff changed, and it's being hidden as an iTunes bill.
Yeah, dude, it scares me.
I mean, quite frankly,
it scares me. I got a buddy of mine that was in charge of the FBI's cyber crime unit.
Uh-huh.
All right? He's like, dude, and you know, what comes out of Russia and Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
All over Europe, all over Asia. He's like, and everybody in America is a target.
Yep. And I got it.
And
I mean, I found
and it is
56 of the charges.
It's the most frightening thing in the world.
Yep. I've been charged 56 times, $10.59. And I'm now, I got
it's terrible. Thing. It's scary.
Yeah. And you don't even notice it because it hides itself as something purporting to be Apple iTunes, and it is not. So I wonder if anybody's had to deal with that. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Keyword and Bring the Heat, let's go to Vinny and Delco. What's up, Vin?
What's up, guys? Listen, I am not even going to let the dreck that is the Phillies ruin my optimism of this time of year. This is like the best time of year to be a sports fan. We got playoff baseball.
Yeah.
We're getting into the teeth of the NFL. Sixers are on the horizon. We got an exciting Flyer season getting ready to start. I agree with you guys where the injuries have definitely tempered my expectations. But injuries for this team in this city are nothing we haven't dealt with in the past. I just feel like this is on the other side of the ball maybe a little bit this year. And it's earlier. I feel like injuries with us the last couple of years have come later when they've really hit us. I think we got a chance to come back from this. This team is way too talented to just explore mediocrity like the Phillies do constantly.
Here's what I'm thinking. The key to this thing and to being a true Super Bowl contender, in addition to how we get some reinforcement here and there, right? Chris Harris. You know, I don't think Jalen Ramsey, but maybe, who knows? He makes it so impossible that you get him. But, you know, you get some defensive help. And then DeSean Jackson can play. Because if he can play, that offense is elite.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, piggybacking on what you're talking about with your buddy Mr. X. I mean, stats, you can form stats and inform them and mold them into any opinion you want to. You can make the numbers look one way or make them look the other way. But that just sounds like a guy that's better that he doesn't have Carson in his franchise, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm still on it. I'm giddy almost to the point. I want the Cowboys so bad in 2 weeks.
I know.
I'm like coughing at the mouth.
I know. You and me both.
That's awesome. I can't wait. I'm with you, bro. It's going to be fun.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. So you guys are great.
Vinny, always great. Please, man, make sure. We always tell you to.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Come in, man. We love to see you.
Yeah, we'll be out at Chickie's on Friday for a Football Friday in Marlton, Ant.
That's right.
Great spot to come out and enjoy a couple cocktails and some great food. And Vinny, by the way, just won our tub of peanut chews, Anthony. Are you now or in partnership with the Eagles, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station. We broadcast in the Xfinity Studios only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.